Ramcha sends a krura for Krishna. Vrindavan was always absorbed in the thought of Krishna. Everyone remembered his pastimes and was constantly merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss. But the material world is so contaminated that even in Vrindavan, the asuras, or demons, tried to disturb the peaceful situation. Once a demon named Aristasura entered the village in the form of a great bull with a gigantic body and huge horns, digging up the earth with his hooves. When the demon entered Vrindavan, the whole land appeared to tremble as if there were an earthquake. He roared fiercely, and after digging up the earth on the riverside, he entered the village proper. The fearful roaring of the bull was so piercing that some of the pregnant cows and women had miscarriages. Its body was so big, stout, and strong that a cloud hovered over its body, just as clouds hover over mountains. Aristasura entered Vrindavan with such a fearful appearance that just on seeing this great demon, all the men and women were afflicted with great fear, and the cows and other animals fled the village. The situation became very terrible, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan began to cry, "Krishna, Krishna, please save us." Krishna saw that the cows were running away, and he immediately replied, "Don't be afraid, don't be afraid." He then appeared before Aristasura and said, "You lowest of living entities, why are you frightening the inhabitants of Gokula? What will you gain by this action if you have come to challenge my authority and I am prepared to fight with you?" In this way, Krishna challenged the demon, and the demon became very angry by the words of Krishna. Krishna stood before the bull, resting his hand on the shoulder of a friend. The bull proceeded toward Krishna in anger. Digging the earth with his hooves, Aristasura lifted his tail, and it appeared that clouds were hovering about the tail. His eyes were reddish and moving in anger. Pointing his horns at Krishna, he charged him, just like the thunderbolt of Indra. But Krishna immediately caught his horns and tossed him away, just as a gigantic elephant repels a small, inimical elephant. Although the demon was perspiring and appeared very tired, he took courage and got up. Again he charged Krishna with great force and anger. While rushing toward Krishna, he breathed very heavily. Krishna again caught his horns and immediately threw him to the ground, breaking his horns. Krishna then began to kick his body, just as one squeezes a wet cloth on the ground. Being thus kicked by Krishna, Aristasura rolled over and began to move his legs violently. Bleeding from the mouth and passing stool and urine, his eyes starting from their sockets, he passed to the kingdom of death. The demigods in the celestial planet showered flowers on Krishna for his wonderful achievement. Krishna was already the life and soul of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and after killing this demon in the shape of a bull, he became the cynosure of all eyes. With Balaram, he triumphantly entered Vrindavan village, and the inhabitants glorified him and Balaram with great jubilation. When a person performs some wonderful feat, his kinsmen and relatives and friends naturally become jubilant. It was after this incident that the great sage Narada disclosed to Kamsa the secret of Krishna. Narada Muni is generally known as Devadarshana, which means that he can be seen only by demigods or persons on the same level with the demigods. just the sword, the bull, Krishna just killed him. And he was so big that clouds were hovering around his head and tails, like the clouds hover around a mountain.
What did he represent?
You know, I never got into that, so okay. I really don't know.
All right. So he represented bull.
He represented a big bull. Big mean bull. It was after this incident that the great sage Narada disclosed to Kamsa the secret of Krishna. Narada Muni is generally known as Devadarshana, which means that he can be seen only by demigods or persons on the same level with the demigods. But Narada visited Kamsa, who was not at all on the level of the demigods, and allowed Kamsa to see him. Of course, Kamsa also saw Krishna, what to speak of Narada Muni, but unless one sees the Lord or his devotees with purified eyes, one cannot derive the actual benefit. Of course, anyone who associates with a pure devotee derives imperceptible benefit, which is called agata sukriti. One can understand how he is making progress. One cannot understand how he is making progress, yet he makes progress by seeing the devotee of the Lord. Narada Muni's mission was to finish things quickly. Krishna appeared in order to kill the demons, and Kamsa was the chief among them. Narada wanted to expedite things, therefore he immediately approached Kamsa with all the real information. You are to be killed by the eighth son of Vasudeva, Narada told Kamsa. That eighth son is Krishna. You were misled by Vasudeva into believing that the eighth issue of Vasudeva was a daughter. Actually, the daughter was born to Yashoda, the wife of Nanda Maharaj, and Vasudeva exchanged his son for the daughter. So you were misled. Krishna is the son of Vasudeva, as is Balaram. Being afraid of your atrocious nature, Vasudeva has tactfully hidden them in Vrindavan, out of your sight. Narada further informed Kamsa, Krishna and Balaram have been living incognito in the care of Nanda Maharaj. All the asuras, your companions, who were sent to Vrindavan to kill different children, were killed by Krishna and Balaram. As soon as Kamsa got this information from Narada Muni, he took out his sharp sword and prepared to kill Vasudeva for his duplicity, but Narada pacified him. You are not to be killed by Vasudeva, he said. Why are you so anxious to kill him? Better try to kill Krishna and Balaram. But in order to satisfy his wrath, Kamsa arrested Vasudeva and his wife and shackled them in iron chains. Acting on the new information, Kamsa immediately called for the Keshi demon and asked him to go to Vrindavan immediately to kill Balaram and Krishna. In actuality, Kamsa asked Keshi to go to Vrindavan to be killed by Krishna and Balaram and thus get salvation. Then Kamsa called for his expert elephant trainers, as well as for the wrestlers, Chanura, Mushtika, Shala, Toshala, etc. And he told them, my dear friends, try to hear me attentively. At Nanda Maharaj's place in Vrindavan, there are two brothers, Krishna and Balaram. They are actually two sons of Vasudeva. As you know, I have been destined to be killed by Krishna. There is a prophecy to this effect. Now I am requesting you to arrange for a wrestling match. People from different parts of the country will come to see the festival. I will arrange to get those two boys here, and you will try to kill them in the wrestling arena. Wrestling matches are still enjoyed by people in northern India and in America. And it appears from the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam that 5,000 years ago, wrestling was also popular. Kamsa planned to arrange such a wrestling competition and to invite people to visit. He also told the trainers of the elephants, be sure to bring the elephant Kovalaya Pida and keep him at the gate of the wrestling arena. Try to capture Krishna and Balaram on their arrival and have the elephant kill them. Hamsa also advised his friends to arrange to worship Lord Shiva by offering animal sacrifices and performing the sacrifice called Dhanarajagya and the sacrifice performed on the 14th day of the moon, known as Chaturdashi. This date falls 3 days after Ekadasi, and it is set aside for the worship of Lord Shiva. One of the plenary portions of Lord Shiva is called Kalabhairava. This form of Lord Shiva is worshipped by demons who offer animals killed before him. The process is still current in India in a place called Vaidyanath Dham, where demons offer animal sacrifices to the deity of Kalabhairava. Kamsa belonged to this demoniac group. He was also an expert diplomat, and so he quickly arranged for his demon friends to try to kill Krishna and Balaram. He then called for Akrura, one of the descendants in the family of Yadu, in which Krishna was born as the son of Vasudeva. When Akrura came to see Kamsa, Kamsa very politely shook hands with him and said, my dear Akrura, actually I have no better friend than you in the Bhoja and Yadu dynasties. You are the most munificent person. So as a friend, I am begging charity from you. Actually, I have taken shelter of you exactly as King Indra takes shelter of Lord Vishnu. I request you to go immediately to Vrindavan and find the two boys named Krishna and Balaram. They are the sons of Nanda Maharaj. Take this nice chariot, especially prepared for the boys, and bring them here immediately. That is my request to you. Now, my plan is to kill these two boys. As soon as they come in the gate, there will be a giant elephant named Kovalaya Pida waiting, and possibly he will be able to kill them. But if somehow or other they escape, they will next meet the wrestlers and will be killed by them. That is my plan. And after killing these two boys, I shall kill Vasudeva and Nanda, who are supporters of the Vrishni and Bhoja dynasties. I shall also kill my father, Ugrasena, and his brother, Devaka, because they are actually my enemies and are hindrances to my diplomacy and politics. Thus I shall get rid of all my enemies. Charasandha is my father-in-law, and I have a great monkey friend named Vibhida. With their help, it will be easy to kill all the kings on the surface of the earth who support the demigods. This is my plan. In this way, I shall be free from all opposition, and it will be very pleasant to rule the world without obstruction. You may know also that Shambhara, Narakasura, and Banasura are my intimate friends, and when I begin this war against the kings who support the demigods, they will help me considerably. Surely I shall be rid of all my enemies. Please go immediately to Vrindavan and encourage the boys to come here to see the beauty of Mathura and take pleasure in the wrestling competition. After hearing this plan of Kamsa's, Akrura replied, my dear king, your plan is very excellently made to counteract the hindrances to your diplomatic activities, but you should maintain equilibrium, for the result of your activities may be fruitful or may not be fruitful. After all, man proposes, God disposes. We may make very great plans, but unless they are sanctioned by the supreme authority, they will fail. Everyone in this material world knows that the supernatural power is the ultimate disposer of everything. One may make a very great plan with his fertile brain, but he must know that he will be subjected to the fruits, misery and happiness. But I have nothing to say against your proposal. As a friend, I shall carry out your order and bring Krishna and Balaram here, as you desire. After instructing his friends in various ways, Kamsa retired, and Akura went back to his home. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 36th chapter of Krishna. Kamsa sends Akura for Krishna. Kamsa gets Akura there, and he's like, oh, you're so nice, you're my best friend. But have a nice seat, and all this stuff. And you're like,
why would he tell Akura, like, all his plans? Isn't Akura
He was a friend.
Favorable.
Yeah, but, you know, he figured he didn't have anything to fear from Akura. Akura was dependent on him, and he figured everybody's afraid of him. So, you know, he just, and he's on, it's not when you're that puffed up.
Yeah,
it's like, you can do anything. You can kill your father,
yeah.
You can kill your brother, your sister and your husband. You can do any crazy thing, because you think, I'm so big. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the demoniac mentality, I am the most powerful, the most wonderful person. He is my enemy and I have killed him. He is also my enemy and I will kill him too.
Yeah.
That's the demoniac mentality. You think you're so strong that you can just do anything. But Akura gave him good advice and said, hey, I'm a good man there, Kamsa, but I wouldn't get too cocky if I were you.
Pretty cool. Now, I'm going to go home and think, why is Krishna telling me this story?
Maybe he wants to kill your enemies.
Or maybe let my enemies kill themselves. Lord knows. Is there, you know?
I assume there should be.
All right. People, thank you, Prabhu.
Killing the Keshi demon and Vyomasura. After being instructed by Kamsa, the demon Keshi assumed the form of a terrible horse. He entered the area of Vrindavan with the speed of the mind, his great mane flying and his hooves digging up the earth. He began to whinny and terrify the whole forest. Krishna saw, that the demon was terrifying all the residents of Vrindavan, and his whinnying and his tail wheeling in the sky like a big cloud. Krishna could understand that the horse was challenging him to fight. The Lord accepted his challenge and stood before the Keshi demon, calling him to fight. The horse then ran toward Krishna, making a horrible sound like a roaring lion. His jaws spread wide open, as if to swallow the whole sky. Keshi rushed toward the Lord with great speed and tried to trample him with his legs, which were strong, forceful, and as hard as stone. Krishna, however, immediately caught hold of his legs and thus baffled him. Krishna was somewhat angry, and thus he began to whirl the horse around. After a few rounds, he contemptuously threw him 100 yards away, just as Garuda throws a big snake. Thrown by Krishna, the horse immediately passed out, but after a little while, he regained consciousness and with great anger and force again rushed toward Krishna with his mouth open. As soon as Keshi reached him, Krishna pushed his left arm within the horse's mouth, and it looked as though a big snake had entered a hole in the field. The horse felt great pain because Krishna felt to him like a hot iron rod. Immediately his teeth fell out. Krishna's arm within the mouth of the horse at once began to expand, and Keshi's throat choked up As the great horse suffocated, perspiration appeared on his body, and he threw his legs hither and thither. As his last breath came, his eyeballs bulged in their sockets, and he passed stool and urine simultaneously. Thus the vital force of his life expired. When the horse was dead, his mouth became loose, and Krishna could extract his arm without difficulty. He did not feel any surprise that the Keshi demon was killed so easily, but the demigods in the sky were amazed, and out of their great appreciation, they offered Krishna greetings by showering flowers. One time I was reading to Satsarup Maharaj, and he was having me read, I would like read a couple of verses from, or a section from Prabhupada's the Krishna book, and then I'd read the same verses from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's 10th canto and his commentary on it. And when Kesha was rushing toward Krishna the second time, and Krishna was getting ready to put his fist in his mouth, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Krishna said to the Keshi demon, he said, oh, you want to eat something? Then eat this. That's the thing that guys who are fighting say to each other, you know, have a knuckle sandwich. I'm going to put my fist in your mouth, and I'm going to hit you so hard, and it's going to eat my fist. So that's what Vishwanath Chakravarti said, that Krishna said to the Keshi demon, said, you want to eat something? Then eat this. And I always thought that was pretty neat. After this incident, Narad Muni, the greatest of all devotees, came to see Krishna in a solitary place and began to talk with him. My dear Lord Krishna, he said, you are the unlimited supersoul, the supreme controller of all mystic powers, the Lord of the whole universe, the all-pervading personality of Godhead. You are the resting place of the cosmic manifestation, the master of all the devotees and the Lord of everyone. My dear Lord, as the supersoul of all living entities, you remain concealed within their hearts, exactly as fire remains concealed in every piece of fuel. You are the witness of all the activities of the living entities, and you are the supreme controller within their hearts. You are self-sufficient. Before the creation, you existed, and by your energy, you have created all the material elements. According to your perfect plan, this material world is created by the interaction of the modes of nature, and by you, it is maintained and annihilated. Although you are unaffected by all these activities, you are the supreme controller eternally. My dear Lord, you have invented yourself on the surface of this earth just to kill all the so-called kings who are actually demons. These hobgoblins are cheating people in the dress of the princely order. You have invented yourself to fulfill your own statement that you come within this material world just to protect the principles of religion and annihilate unwanted miscreants. My dear Lord, I am therefore sure that the day after tomorrow, I shall see demons like Chanura, Mushtika, and the other wrestlers and elephants, as well as Kamsa himself, killed by you. I shall see this with my own eyes. After this, I shall be able to see the killing of other demons like Shanka, Yavana, Mora, and Narakasura. I shall also see you take away the Parijata flower from the kingdom of heaven, and how you defeat the king of heaven himself. My dear Lord, Narada Muni continued, I shall then be able to see how you marry princesses, the daughters of chivalrous kings, by paying the pride of Kshatriya strength, the price of Kshatriya strength. Whenever a Kshatriya wants to marry a very beautiful and qualified daughter of a great king, he must fight his competitors and emerge victorious. Then he is given the hand of the princess in charity. I shall also see how you save King Riga from a hellish condition, said Narada Muni. This you shall enact in Dwarka. I shall also be able to see how you get your wife and the Shamataka jewel, and how you save the son of a Brahmin from death after he has already been transferred to another planet. After this, I will be able to see you kill the Pondraka demon and burn to ashes the kingdom of Kashi. I will see how you kill the king of Chedi and Dantavakra during the great sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Besides all this, it will be possible for me to see many other chivalrous activities while you remain in Dwarka. And all these activities performed by your grace will be sung by great poets throughout the world. At the Battle of Kurukshetra, you will take part as the chariot driver of your friend, Arjuna, and as the invincible death incarnation, eternal time, you will vanquish all belligerents assembled there. I shall see a large army of military forces killed on that battlefield. My Lord, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. You are situated completely in the transcendental position, in perfect knowledge and bliss. You are complete in fulfilling all your desires. By exhibiting your internal potency, you have set up the influence of Maya. Your unlimited potency cannot even be measured by anyone. My dear Lord, you are the supreme controller. You are under your own internal potency, and it is simply vain to think that you are dependent on any of your creations. You have taken birth in the Yadu dynasty or the Vishnu dynasty. Your advent on the surface of the earth in your original form of eternal blissful knowledge is your own pastime. You are not dependent on anything but yourself. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. After offering his respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna, Narada Muni took permission and left. Narada Muni wanted to impress upon people in general that Krishna is fully independent. His activities, such as his appearance in the family of Yadu or his friendship with Arjuna, do not necessarily oblige him to act to enjoy their results. They are all pastimes, and for him, they are all play, but for us, they are actual, tangible facts. After he had killed the Keshi demon, Krishna returned to tending the cows with his friends in the forest as though nothing had happened. Thus, Krishna is eternally engaged in his transcendental activities in Vrindavan with his friends, the cowherd boys and gopis. But sometimes he exhibits the extraordinary prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by killing different types of demons. Later that morning, Krishna went to play with his cowherd boyfriends on the top of the Govardhan Hill. They were imitating the play of thieves and police. Some of the boys became police constables, and some became thieves, and some took the role of lambs. While they were thus enjoying their childhood pastimes, a demon known by the name of Vyomasura, the demon who flies in the sky, appeared on the scene. He was the son of another great demon named Maya. These demons can perform wonderful magic. Vyomasura took the part of a cowherd boy playing as a thief and stole many boys who were playing the parts of lambs. One after another, he took away almost all the boys and put them in the caves of the mountain and sealed the mouths of the caves with stones. Krishna could understand the trick of the demon was played. Therefore, he caught hold of him exactly as a lion catches hold of a lamb. The demon tried to expand himself like a hill to escape arrest, but Krishna did not allow him to get out of his clutches. He was immediately thrown to the ground with great force and killed, just as an animal is killed in the slaughterhouse. After killing the Vyoma demon, Lord Krishna released all his friends from the caves of the mountain. He was then praised by his friends and by the demigods for these wonderful acts. He again returned to Vrindavan with his cows and friends. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 37th chapter of Krishna, killing the Keshi demon and Vyomasura. Glory to